let the church say amen. In the name of Jesus, the God in whom we move, the God in whom we live, and the God in whom we exist. Master, we just come to say thank you for allowing us to see another day, a day that we've never seen before. And Father, we thank you for loving mothers. We thank you for protective fathers. We thank you for handsome sons. And we thank you for our dainty little girls. But right now, Master, somebody just need to hear a word from you. Somebody need to know that not only are you still sitting high, but you're still looking low. Somebody need to know you as a waymaker. Somebody need to know you as a midnight traveler. Somebody need to know you as their ball and chain. To that mother that's up all night long worried about that wayward son, wherever he is, Master, touch him. Turn him around. Put his mother in his heart and put running in his feet. And to that rebellious son against his dad, let him know that his dad is loving, care for him, and trying to make a way for him. But right now, Master, we just need to hear a word from you, asking that you will hide self or anything that may stand in the way of going forth of your word. Speak, Lord, for thy people heareth. Speak, Lord, for thy servants are ready to answer. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for it all. Amen.
Amen.
How you feel, my people?
Good. How you doing?
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, you looking good.
You looking good.
And I feel pretty good myself. y'all know I'm a little crazy, so don't start nothing. Your theme comes from Matthew 18. And I believe it's verse 4, but in order to get a full understanding, we will start reading from verse 1 through 5, Matthew chapter 18. We hear these words. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter unto the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers of his words. You may be seated. Your theme says change is coming. But since I'm the son of Arkansas sharecropper, and I still have fond memories of chopping cotton all day for $4.25 an hour. So I understand change. And I understand what it's like being in a hot cotton field wondering when God is going to bring about this change. So therefore, I'm going to tweak your title just a little bit and simply say, a change is a coming.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's on the A side. But then again, on the B side, the theme is, are you ready for the change?
All right.
A change is coming, but are you ready for the change? And look at somebody and say, be careful for what you ask for. Because you just might get it. So the disciples seized this moment to talk to Jesus, and they had a second thought.
Right.
So they said, Master, tell me who is the greatest in your kingdom?
Right.
Because my mindset is that I want to get to that kingdom, but I need to know something about that kingdom before I get to it.
Right.
And one thing I want to know is that who is the greatest in your kingdom?
Right.
And the second thing I want to know, I can't come out and ask you, but I want to know, is there room for me? Is there a special seat for me? So the sons of John and James, the disciples, the sons of Zebedee said, can I sit on your right? And the other one said, can I sit on your left? And then even the mother had the nerve to say, Jesus, could I ask you something? Could one of my sons sit on your right side? And could one sit on the left? So be careful for what you ask for, because you might get it and you may not be ready for it. So the fact is, we never before in America as we experience what's going on now. Never before have we had a president in the White House doing the things that this president is doing. There's nothing presidential about him. For the first time, America has lived up to its true colors. And she have elected a prejudiced, racist, communist, sympathizing president, Captain Redneck himself. And black folk are scared. But it's not important who's in the White House. It doesn't matter whether it's Trump, Thump, or Bump. Because I've got Jesus, the Lord that sits high and looks low. So you need to understand that nothing happens without God giving permission. Trump is not where he is unless God wanted him to be there. See, for years, America has criticized every race and country on the face of the earth, but now other folk are looking at us different. Other folk are saying, who is this idiot in the White House? Is this America? Is this the home of the brave? Is this the land of the free? So for the first time, never before in the history of this country, has so many racist and prejudiced people got knocked down. Trump has empowered them. Roseanne is no longer on TV, thanks to Trump. The owner of Papa John Pizza made racial remarks in a meeting, and somebody snitched on him. So he is no longer where he would be, thanks to Donald Trump. So when you look at the bad things about Trump, you got to look at the good things about Trump. Because Trump has allowed this country to show its true colors. If ever we needed Jesus, we need him now.
Yes, sir.
I had the privilege of taking the youth department of Provo West, Provo East, to Bay St. Louis. We took them to Florida on a Christian retreat, and it was brought to my attention that 5 kids at those 2 schools have committed suicide in 1 year. And before we left that Christian retreat, another young girl committed suicide that Friday night. And when we got ready to come back home, a girl just fell on the ground and said, I don't want to go back home. And I'm asking the people, is this normal? And he said, well, kids know nothing about God. They are no longer being brought up in Sunday school. They are no longer being brought up to Bible class. They got Facebook, Twitter, and that stuff is killing our babies left and right because they know nothing about God.
Yep.
The Bible simply says, come now, Isaiah 1. Come now, and let's reason together.
Right.
In other words, what he's saying is, can we talk? Because I got a bug I want to drop in your ear. Can we talk? A white man said to me once, we was on a little trip, and he pulled me over to the side. You know, sometimes folk want to talk to you. They don't mind talking to you, but they don't want their brothers and sisters to know that they are talking to you. And he pulled me over, and he said, there's nothing righteous about me. And this man had a good job. He said, my wife go to church. I just write a check. Every now and then, I go just to pacify her, but there's nothing righteous about me. And then he said, brother bus driver, I have something I really, really, truly, truly want to ask you. I hope you're not offended. Why is it that all black folk are righteous? And I want to tell him, we used to be righteous, but we ain't righteous now. Because babies are having babies. Babies can't teach babies nothing. Babies can't teach babies nothing. The worst thing that happened to the black community, the exit of Big Mama. There are no more Big Mamas. If Big Mama was here, she would have to tell them boys one time, baby, and Big Mama said, pull up your pants. Wouldn't tell them no more. Big Mama one time would say, baby, you need to straighten that cap up. Baby, you need to lace up them shoes before you fall. She wouldn't have to tell them anymore. But now our mothers are 15, grandmothers are 25, great-grandmothers are 35 and 40. Our race seem like it's going down. You remember we used to say, I remember the good old days?
Right.
Just think, umpteen years from now, these will be the good old days. So people said that a change is coming, but are you ready for the change? See, everybody fear the unknown. Everybody fear the change because they don't know where change will leave them.
Right.
Will I be better off or will I be worse off? So don't worry about the fact that the change is coming. Just make sure you are ready when the change get here.
Okay.
Book of Jeremiah 19:11, the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think of you. Thoughts of good and not evil, that you may reach your expected end. See, before the sunrise, Jesus is thinking about you. Every sunset, he's thinking about you. He's got plans for your life. The only person that can derail those plans are you. So if God is thinking about me, what difference does it make what somebody else may say? What difference does it make what Trump may think? What difference does it make as long as God is thinking about me and he has empowered me to be what I want to be in this life?
All right.
You know, every time when it comes to us, we're always a day late and a dollar short. Amen. When it comes to us, all we ever got in our pocket is a nickel and a nail. The nail is bent, therefore I can't use it. The nickel is rusty, so therefore I can't spend it. When it comes to us, even when we write songs, our mindset is not on today, but it's on tomorrow. There's a song that we sing that says, we shall overcome someday. That song sounds good, doesn't it? But remember, the song says, we shall overcome someday. I don't want to overcome someday. I want to overcome this day. So I sing, I want to overcome right now.
Yeah.
I want to overcome right now.
Yeah.
See, they keep us reaching the here, by, and by. But the God that we serve is a right now God.
Yeah.
Hey. In Arkansas, my mom just drove the thought in my ear that a rich man can't get to heaven. Baby, just keep picking that cotton and singing them songs and getting that little 425 because a rich man can't get in heaven. Well, it's not money. It's your mindset about money. See, some of you, God can't allow you to be a millionaire because you turn your back on Jesus. You forget where you came from. So you can't get where you need to be because you forget where you came from because God know you. Can't let some of you be rich because you won't act right. When I lived in New Orleans, there was a lady at Greater St. Stephen. She would catch the bus every Sunday. Then God blessed her to buy a car. The next Sunday, she drove by the bus stop and saw her other church member standing there. She turned her head and her nose up in the air because she was no longer on the bus stop. But two or three weeks later, she had an accident and she totaled out the car. The insurance company paid for the car, but she didn't have enough money to make another down payment to get another car. So God put her back on the bus stop. A change is coming. Never before in the history of this country have you seen so many women in politics. Look at the Democratic Party. There's nothing but women of color. Well, I take my hat off for the sisters because the sisters got it going on. Brothers, we better catch up. We better catch up. But the sisters got it going on. Two of the strongest people in America has always been the white man and the black woman. Because, see, the black woman had to feed his family, clean up his house, and then take care of her house. And, see, my mom was one of the best cooks in Arkansas. I remember the days when my mom would come home with some biscuits behind her apron. We'll come home with some fried chicken and chicken wings behind her apron. We'll come home with some steaks under her apron that she took from the white folks' house. But that's what it took to get us where we needed to be. Your mama did what she had to do to get you where you needed to be. Change is coming. So the disciples, they knew Jesus was evil. They want to know, well, what about us? See, the most powerful forces on the face of the earth is politics, religion, and money.
That's right.
The Twin Towers were destroyed by religion.
Right.
America is talking about restitution. I heard them talking about they're going to do some things for black folk. And somebody had the nerve, the audacity to say, well, then let's give them college credits. And let's give them this. But no, I'm 72 years old. You give me a check. And I don't need no college credit. Give me my check and let me spend my money. If you 25 or 30, give them some college credit because I may not have long to be. Just give me a check and let me spend my money the way I want to spend my money. And people talk about, oh, a revolution. Oh, yeah, we caught up in a revolution, but it's a spiritual revolution.
Right.
We have no weapons. We can't fight this government. But we got power.
Right.
And we got a God. Could you imagine what would happen if every black man, woman, and child stayed at the mall for 90 days? The food courts were closed. Stay at the mall for 90 days and see how many stores were closed. If you're planning on buying a car, don't buy a car for 90 days. You plan on buying a house? Don't buy a house for 90 days. And a black cloud would hover over America because our money. The police would stop killing your babies. All the black men in jail, they would be ready to let them out because, see, we have power. And I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I'm 72 years old. I've been a preacher and bus driver for a while. I think I want to be an activist. And somebody said, well, then if you want to be an activist, you know they're going to kill you if you said the wrong thing. So I said, well, then just give me 2 or 3 years to say the right thing, because they can only kill me one time. And I don't care how bad that killing is, they can only do it one time. And then you get to go to heaven. So let me do what I need to do, and they can do what they need to do, because a change is coming. There's a word in Revelation that says, Armageddon. Everybody think of the word? Armageddon. Well, black folk, y'all know what Ebonics is, don't you? So Armageddon is just God using the word Ebonics. If I wanted to get you, I'd say, I'm going to get you. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you if I want to be proper. But if I didn't want to be proper, I'd say, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. So God saying, I'm going to get him. So don't worry about messy folk, because God says, I'm going to get him. Don't worry about backstabbers, because God says, I'm going to get him. Don't worry about ditch diggers, because God said, I'm going to get them. Don't worry about Donald Trump, because God said, I'm going to get them. Be you forever patient, my people. I keep saying, well, Jesus, could you just show up one time and just do a little miracle? When I watched the boy, the teenager getting thrown on the concrete, then they hit his face on the concrete. I said, well, could you just do a little miracle? After the killing down in Carolina, the boy that killed a lot of people in church, I was at a Baptist convention in Atlanta, and the lady said, well, how do you feel about that? The families forgave him. And I said, well, I'm not ready to forgive them. I hope they burn in hell. I'm not ready to forgive them. But when Obama did that eulogy, and he did that song, Amazing Grace, and he said, we can see clearer now. We didn't understand, but those folk didn't die in vain, because then the young white girl in Carolina said, it's time to take the flag down. It's time to take the statue down. See, a lot of stuff we don't understand.
Don't understand why.
But Jesus is in control.
Right.
Paul said that we look through a glass that is dim.
Dimly
lit. But we don't understand. So we are like kids. When I was a child, I understood as a child. I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I understood. So if you're impatient, you know something is going on in America, for the table has been set for the greatest evolution to ever occur in the hearts and the minds of the people in America. We're about to break free. We're about to bust loose. A change. This country is getting ready to make one of the greatest changes that has ever happened in history. You remember when Bush was president? Oh, as dumb as he was, he couldn't say a mine is a dangerous thing to lose. He said not have or whatever. We couldn't see Obama then. We couldn't see Obama, but white folks said, I'll vote for anybody to get this dumb white boy out of the White House. We couldn't see that Bush was setting this country up for its first black president. We couldn't see it, but Obama was waiting in the ring because God hadn't revealed him at the time, because it wasn't the time. God says that my ways are not your ways. I like that. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But my ways are higher than your ways, as the heavens are above the earth. I'm glad that God is God. Because if I was God, a lot of y'all wouldn't be here. Rise, my son. Beep, die, my son.
Preacher,
so So here we are.
Here we are.
A change is coming. But are you ready for the change? What are you doing every day? Have you looked in the mirror? If you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, change it. Have you opened your mouths lately? And if you open your mouth, you don't like what you hear, change it. Have you searched your heart? And if you don't like what you feel, change it. Have you searched your mind? And if you don't like what you're thinking, change it. You can change. You can change. I can change. I can walk better. I can talk better. I can teach better. I can preach better. I can sing better. I can shout better. I can be better. My daddy was uneducated, so he didn't understand being politically correct because he couldn't read, he couldn't write, but he could make an X. But my mom was very intelligent. She could read, she could write. Plantation owner wanted Sister Jackie to go to college to teach. All you had to do was go a couple of summers and you paid some money and you could be teaching school. But my daddy couldn't understand that because he was a sharecropper. He viewed that as a threat to him. He couldn't see, if my wife is a school teacher, I don't have to walk behind this mule. But he viewed that as a threat, and my mom was bitter. So he would always use the word, he would say, son, whatever you do, do it good. That's all. That was his word. Whatever you do, son, do it good. See, a lot of stuff that we think is ignorant, it's not ignorant. See, a lot of things that our old folk tried to teach us, and we turn up our nose at it, look around. Another thing my mom used to always say, son, if you're walking somewhere and you see a bush, walk on back. Don't take a stick and start beating around the bush because there could be a snake sleeping in the bush. And if you beat around the bush, you might get bit. So if you're going somewhere, go where you're planning on going. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Go where you're going and get on with it. Stop procrastinating. So the disciples wanted to be somewhere, but they wanted Jesus to give them something that they wasn't worthy of having. And Jesus simply said, it's not mine to give. A friend of mine, he kept saying, trouble, I think I'm ready to pastor. I know I'm ready to pastor. Well, apparently you must not be. Because if you were, you would be pastoring. But since you're not, that means that you ain't ready. The greatest distance that an associate will ever travel will be from the associate seat to the pastor seat. That is a continental divide, my brothers. Don't be anxious for nothing. In all things, be patient and pray. Because when you get it, what you think you want, you might not be ready. If Jesus were to come right now, how many of us would be ready? Somebody would look around and, well, brother, so-and-so gone. Well, where is he? The rapture got him. The change is a-coming. But are you ready for the change? Now, you need to understand, you can't make this change by yourself.
All right now.
You got to have Jesus. The only person that can make you through this change is Jesus. See, God doesn't need permission for anybody to bless you. Trump can't block you. Trump can't stop you. If Social Security went out of business overnight, you would still be able to get up and eat tomorrow. Yes, some of you pay your bills late. Well, don't worry about it. You see, you're paying them. They haven't cut your lights off yet. They may have threatened you. They haven't turned your phone off yet. They may have threatened you, but your lights are still on. Your phone is still working because God said, don't turn it off. Leave it on. A change is coming. Are you ready for the change? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? It sure enough ain't me. It must be Jesus. Remember when we was in school, they had this little nursery rhyme that said, Humpty Dumpty
sat on the wall.
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses and all the king's men couldn't put poor Humpty back together again. Well, it's one thing that they didn't tell you. Why was Humpty on a wall? If he was Humpty Dumpty, he wasn't skinny. So if he wasn't skinny, why was his big on a wall?
When you think of a wall, you think of something high. See, Humphrey climbed up on the wall because Humphrey wanted a better view. Uh-huh. The higher he climbed, the better the view. But if you're sitting on a wall and you see a beautiful view, you can't get emotional. You got to stay in control. So Humphrey got caught up on what he could see more than where he was sitting. Uh-huh. And Humphrey fell. And they said all the king's horses, uh-huh, all the king's men, couldn't get poor Humphrey back together again. But somebody should have called on Jesus. All they had to do was say, Jesus. And Jesus would have looked down at Humphrey and said, Humphrey, if you can look up, Humphrey, if you can reach up, then Humphrey, I'll take you by the hand and I'll pull you up. We got some Humpty Dumpties in here right now. But I just stopped by to tell you, if you look up and reach up, and pray up, Jesus will reach down and take you by the hand, and he will pick you up. Somebody say, well, who is this Jesus? Jesus, the wind beneath my wings. Jesus, the melody that I sing. Jesus, Moses' miracle worker. Jesus, Solomon's wisdom. Jesus, King David's giant killer. Jesus, Paul and Silas knock at midnight. Jesus, Jeremiah fire within his bones. Jesus, the who in my life, the what in my life, the when in my life, the why in my life, and everything in between. Jesus, to the farmer, he is the great harvest. Jesus, to the mathematician, he is the correct answer. Jesus, to the chemist, he is the right solution. Jesus, to the optometrist, he's the correct sight. Jesus, to the carpenter, he's the building block. Jesus, to the master mason, he's the chief cornerstone. My all in all, my way maker, my midnight traveler, my ball and chain, my peace when I'm restless, my hope when I'm hopeless, my joy when I'm joyless, my air when I need breathing, my food when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my all in all, Jesus. There is a change. J-E-S-U-S. There is a change. It's not to come. It's already here. It's in me. It's in you. When you can walk right, when you can talk right, when you can teach right, when you can preach right, when you can sing right, when you can shout right, the change is a coming. Are you ready? Praise his name. Praise his name.
Let the church say amen. Let's say amen again. We are truly grateful and thankful for God blessing us with Reverend Trimble on this morning, coming and giving us a word from on high with tidbits of wisdom all along the way. All along the way. Chain is a coming. Are you ready for it? So we're going to open the doors of the church at this time. We ask you to stand on your feet. And what we do when we open the doors of the church is give you an opportunity for change.
All right.
What do I mean by opportunity for change? I'm talking about the opportunity to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and in your life. Because when Christ enters your life, a change has to happen. When you accept Christ in the pardon of your sins, a change takes place. You've decided, I've decided, when I did it, was to make sure I look at the old me and move to the me that God wants me to be. And that requires a change. Now, it's called sanctification. It's a progressive work. It's not an overnight change, But you got to grow and learn in Christ. And as you do, that change is progressive. But here's where the problem is. The problem is we sometimes like to be where we were. And when you like to be where you were, you don't want to accept the change that God wants to give you. So we ask you to take the first step to change right now. We ask you now to come, take a seat. If you now want God to be in your life and provide the change we're talking about. If you're without a church home and need to be in fellowship with a church that's going to preach and teach Jesus Christ as the relationship to God, this is your place. So we want to extend that opportunity at this time. So is there one? Well, God bless. God bless. God bless. Preached him up here. Come on. Join me. You got nothing to say, just stand with me. God bless, man.
Church family, we have before us Brother Freddie Harris. He is coming to join our congregation by way of Christian experience. Amen. And I just want to say that he mentioned that his brother here, and his brother is here, then he want to be here because he know this is a good church.
Bless God. Bless God.
Let the church say amen. Amen. All right, Brother Freddie, can you stand, please? God bless you. God bless you. Y'all can be seated, but can I let y'all know he was in Sunday school?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Do I need to say that again? He was in Sunday school?
Amen.
God bless you. I appreciate it. This is multiple times since you've been here.
Amen.
And so we thank God that I'm going to quote him. He felt the love in the church.
Amen.
So I'm thankful that you did. And so now you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Bless God.
Yes. And you want to now worship him with us here at Mount Hebron.
Amen.
And you're willing to do whatever your hands are assigned to do by God to do here at Mount Hebron.
Amen.
God bless you for that. God bless you for that. So Christian experience. So, Brother Deacon.
Pastor, as a member of this board and a member of this church, I make a motion that we accept this brother on the profession of his faith. And after he passed this new membership class, he'll be given the right hand of fellowship, at which point he'll have all rights and privileges as any other member of Mount Hebron Missionary Baptist Church.
Motion and second to accept Brother Harris as a member of Mount Hebron Missionary Baptist Church. All in favor?
Aye.
That's all I need. God bless you. So I'm giving you the right hand of welcome now. And after you attend the pastor's new members class to show what we do, how we do around here, we'll give you the right hand of fellowship on that subsequent first Sunday. All right? God bless you, man.
Truly.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Okay. We are grateful again to God and thank God for all he's done and what he's doing. Amen. 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 So, since there's a second service, we're not going to have benediction. So what we're going to do is bless the food. And after we bless the food, we will fellowship downstairs until 2:30. And the next service starts at 2:30. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I need one of my youth to come up here and bless the food for us. One of my youth. I need a youth. Don't make nobody come. No, I want them to come on their own. I don't want you to force a child to come and bless the food. I appreciate it, but I don't want you to push a child. I want one of our youth to come up here and bless the food. One of my youth. One of my youth. Don't matter who. Just come on up here and bless the food. Come on. We're not going to eat until one of y'all do it. Yes. It's simple. Bless the food. How many of y'all say grace before you eat at home? All the kids. I'm talking to the kids. How many of y'all say grace before you eat your food? Come here. No, stay here. Bless the food. Thank you, ma'am.
Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray that the food is prepared, you know. Gracious Father, thank you for this food who prepared it, who grew it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Now, say grace. Bless your food before you eat, just like you do at home. Say grace.
Okay. God, thank you for this day today. I hope the food is good downstairs and prepared for everybody. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
See that? Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give us closing remarks and then we'll do it.
And let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen.
How we doing? Did we learn anything? I'm a senior citizen. Well, actually, I'm a super senior because I'm 72 now. And a year ago, I lost my only sister. A year prior to that, I lost a brother. And then 2 years prior to that, I lost another brother. It's like my sister had said, I'm thankful that we all are here, but I had no idea that two brothers and a sister would be gone in a period of 4 years. So then I was wondering when I will start slowing down. I mean, some of you know me as being sort of crazy and silly, but not as an activist. And while I was wondering, it was like the Spirit said, well, we didn't tell you it's time, did we? So why are you worried about it? You will know when after you slow down. Every now and then, I do a little prophecy. In Arkansas, they were saying the seventh son, born with the veil on his face, you know, da 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 da. I just happen to be Sister Jackie's seventh son. The practice is that the midwife takes the veil, put it in a white handkerchief, save it, and give it to the mother to give back to the son at a certain age. But this particular midwife kept it. When my mother thought about it, it was a week later, when I became a young man, then my mother said, the midwife stole your veil, but she didn't steal your gift. The young lady in the back with the red hair, yeah, don't be looking back. Could you just stand up for a minute? I was in the process of coming in, when you came in smiling, and then you did this and did that. You in a good place right now. The Spirit says, don't go to your left or don't go to your right, because some of your friends may be trying to pull you to the left or to your right, but God got a plan for you. I don't know what that plan is. All I know, he's saying, stay on the narrow, straight. Don't worry about being popular. I don't know. Are you in high school? In college? You grown? Oh, my God. Well, you still been blessed to look like a child, but there's some good things coming your way. So apparently you're doing something right. So just keep doing what you're doing and don't let anybody pull you to the right or to your left. And I will be praying for you tonight at midnight. I don't know your name. I don't need to know your name, but God know who you are. And I'm obligated to say a prayer for you tonight at midnight. If you can't save your own kids, save somebody else's kid. That's all you know. If you can't bring your own kids to Sunday school, encourage somebody else's kids. My son in Memphis was a big-time drug dealer for years. And people had tried to kill him. And before his mother died, her prayer was that he would stop selling drugs. And my prayer was, Lord, let him go to jail. I don't want him to kill him. So he went to New York City in the hood and made a drug deal. How he got the drugs back to Memphis, I don't know. He even went to Miami and made a big-time drug deal. How they got the drugs to Memphis and why the drug dealer didn't kill him after getting this money, I don't know. But years later, he called me and he said, Dad, can I borrow $250? And I said, thank you, Jesus. He was no longer selling drugs. How he got out of the business without them killing him, I don't know. Even the police came to his house once, and when he opened the door, the marijuana smell almost knocked the lieutenant down. But the lieutenant was a friend of my daughter's husband. And he said, because I know you, I'm not going to come in the house. Because if I come in the house, this whole program will have to change. I'm just going to back away. It's not because of who you are, but I know your brother-in-law. See, sometimes it's good to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. And all you need to do is just know Jesus and have a relationship. See, a lot of people don't have a relationship because a relationship with Jesus means that things got to change. See, a lot of y'all don't want to change. Man, when I was called to preach, I was living in New Orleans. I was going to the French Quarters and partying up and going to church on Sundays. And the preacher kept saying, Triple, you're playing with God. You're playing with God. And then one day I was in my mean green Cadillac on my way to Mobile, Alabama, driving 70 miles an hour. And one of the rear wheels came off. They had been doing some construction work on the interstate. And they had left a telegram post right in the median. So when the wheel came off, my car started fishtailing, and there was an 18-wheeler on my right. So he immediately pulled over, and my car hit that telegram post head-on. I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Tank was full of gas. I came out of the seat, but my foot got wrapped around the brake. The only reason I didn't go through the windshield. So the state trooper came over. He said, this is a strange accident. It's a good thing that your tank was almost empty. I said, no, I had just filled it up. He said, well, the good thing is wearing a seatbelt. I said, no, I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So he said, I've never seen an accident like this. So I'm in the hospital. All of my friends from New Orleans are calling. And the only thing that I remembered was what those three preachers kept saying. You can't be in the quarters on Saturday night and Friday and in the pulpit on Sundays. So I was reading Philippians. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me in my hospital bed. And as soon as I put my Bible down and started looking out the window, a voice came to me and said, if it have to be another accident, you won't walk away the next time. So I started crying at that point in my hospital bed. When I did get a chance to go back to church, the first sermon that I preached it while I was on crutches. They said, you want to wait? I said, no, buddy, I'm coming on now. I'm coming on. God has a way of getting your attention. Teddy Pendergrass was a preacher, Church of God in Christ, before he started rubbing your body down in hollow oil. See what happened to him? Turn out the lights. He gave up preaching. Rance Allen, the great singer, his singing career took off, so he stopped preaching. And one day he had a vision. God said, I don't mind you singing, but I call you to preach. So you go back to preaching. So he went back to preaching, and he got called to a small church in Detroit. See, God, you can't put stuff and things ahead of God. Nothing is complicated. It's simple. It's simple. Lord, I got kids. I can't take care of them by myself. My mom raised 5 kids after my dad died. But Jesus made a way. She started getting that Social Security check. She went and bought a white Chevy Impala. We got new jeans from Sears Roebuck. We didn't have designer jeans. We got new jeans from Sears Roebuck. All the people in Earl, Arkansas put out a rumor, Miss Jackie got a man. She must be dating the plantation owner. So one day my mom said to all of them, yeah, I got a man. And his name is Jesus. When my mom filed for my dad's Social Security, my dad had been married before. She didn't know about it. And when the white man pulled up the records, he said, Miss Jackie, you know your husband was married before you. He said, but you got five kids. He said, I don't know. I don't know why. I've never done this before, but I'm just going to hide this record so you can get the Social Security for yourself and them five kids. He said, I'm just going to hide this record. That was Jesus saying, no, you're going to take care of Sister Jackie and them boys. So I'm done. I'm through. Y'all work me hard, man. I'm 72.
All right, let us stand and we're dismissed until the next service. God bless.